Okay, today's daf we will learn is daf Chaf Daled, and we last year we began the Mishnah. Again, I'll go through the Mishnah again. Hamei ish ploni yerusheni. He wants someone to individual to inherit a makom sheyesh bat or biti tirusheni makom sheyesh ben. In other words, he wants to break the orders of precedence. Lo amar kluma doesn't work. She na mashe kutu b'torah. And then we said Rabbi Yochanan says im amar mishra ui lerosha. If it's talking about someone who is sounded like within the chain of Yerusha, meaning someone who is Israeli, not a foreign person entirely, then it would work. But if it's Bal Misha Eino Ruy Lusha, then Eino Dvar Kayamim. And if you remember last year when we ended, I qualified it with the Marafold, and that's exactly what the Gemara does now. Hamer Ish Ploni Yerusheni, it says, So Amar Reb Yochanan, Lo Amar Reb Yochanan Ben Bruka, Ela Al Ben Ben Abanim. When does he say it would work? You can shift, if you like, to give one person over another that might have, that should be receiving. That's only if they're on the same level. Get on our chart, the same number rank, if you like. Okay, so a ben amongst the banim, or a bat amongst the banot, he can choose to say, according to Rabbi Yochanan Bruka, I want my this particular daughter to inherit over and above all the other daughters. However, but ben achim, ach ben a banot, then lo. If it's, however, breaking rank and going differently, I mean, let's use that terminology, then that wouldn't work. So Rabbi Shaul, Rabbi Natan Barba, Amar achen she'ila. So this or Achin, like this is how we ask the question. My time at the Rabbi Yochanan ben Bruka. What then is the reason? Because he said halacha. Because again, Rabbi Yochanan says halacha. Rabbi Yochanan ben Bruka. So either he asked, pose a question saying, okay, what's the rationale? Or Rav Zira Amar Achin Cha'al. This is how he posed the question, which is Mara Ulomar. Why did they say halacha like Rabbi Yochanan ben Bruka? In other words, either he was asking the reason or saying why do Chachamim prefer that opinion? So Amar Lei. Didn't you teach the following in Nun? So let's try and understand this. Rabbi Yochanan ben Bruka says, as long as on the same rank, you can give preference to one over another. Okay? And he says, so, and he says, halacha is like that. We can follow that. And the question is, well, why so? And he says, but we know for a fact from elsewhere that that's indeed the case. What's the case? If you remember, we had the concept of what's called ketubah benim dichrin, which is a tnai in the ketubah that a woman can put that. She could say that, okay, you might marry, you might have multiple wives and multiple children of multiple marriages over the course of your life, whatever. And I want to ensure that my sons inherit my ketubah, if I die before you, over and above, before the rest of the division of the estate, over and above the distribution. And that was ketubah din dichrin, if you remember. She wants to ensure that her offspring get ketubah before the distribution of the estate. And that's ketubah din dichrin. And you can do that. And the lashon that is used, it says, Inun, they will yartun, they will yoresh. You see, we're losing a lashon of yoresh, and you're giving precedent to a boy amongst other boys, and it works. So therefore, that's exactly the position of Yochanan ben Bruka, that one is able to give precedence to, as long as, or shift Yerusha certain portions, if they like, as long as we're in the same ranks, so a boy amongst boys. So there's your proof. For the whole concept of the institution of Gnomon and Dikrin seems to be built upon this idea. So the Gemara says, no. Matniti, the response is, no, so this is how that mission is meant to be taught. It's actually Inun Yitlun, they will take. So the whole concept of Gnomon and Dikrin is not built on Yerusha, it's built on Matana. And we've seen already that you can give a Matana a gift prior to death if you wish. Okay, so since it's Yitlun, it's based on a Matana, then it would work. And it's got nothing to do with being, it doesn't have to hinge on the position of Yochanan ben Bruka. So Amar Avla, he says as follows. Afilu kamanda Amar Yartun, even according to the Shita that says that you can read the Mishnah Yartun, nonetheless, it's still not a proof for a Shita of Yochanan ben Bruka. Why? Because koach bitnim miupa. In other words, we have this takana that's instituted of Knobbein Nedichrin. That's a tnai beitin, if you like. The koach of beitin, hefke, however you want to build it, that they have the capacity when in monetary areas to shift assets if they needed to. And my proof is as follows. Because even if you say it's a matana, you're still going to have to rely on koach beitin yafe. Why? Because ein adam bezakeh b'lashon matana. I'll just read the marfil. It says, "Klomar afilu b'lashon matana, heyach echol lezakot even as matana." How at the time of the marriage can they give a matana? The children aren't even born yet. Doesn't exist. Lemisha lo ba leolam. Shrebeshan nisuim ain banim leolam. There's no children yet. Ve'yachu mezakeh. Ba'afilu hachi hachen mezakeh. If you want to say that it's not a proof because we took out with lashon matana, but even matana doesn't make sense. Because even if he's saying the taik duba that Inun, the Benin, the Benin, Havim Inun, I think the children I'll have from you, they, my boys will have from you, they will yitlun. Inun ya, or yatlun. Well, that doesn't work either. You have to depend on a Tanai Beit Din because you can't gift something to someone who doesn't exist yet. So therefore, if you're already hinging on a Tanai Beit Din, you can say the Lashon of Yartun as well is also hinging on a Tanai Beit Din, so don't be so particular on the words. Says again, so it could also be in this situation too, by way of the takana, even though we don't necessarily could say that this is like according to Chachamim that a cholek on Rabbi Yochanan ben Bruka, that you can't shift and give one son over other sons. Nonetheless, in situation you can, because it's a Tanai Beit Din, Koach Beit Din, the monetary matters, they can ensure that this tonight this Ketubah ben Nichrin takana is in place. Okay, so there's no proof from Ketubah ben Nichrin. Okay, let's continue. Tamatanina. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel Omer. Im meta yershena. Now, what this is referring to, we have to take a break here, because this takes us back to Masechet Ketubot. And this is where, if you remember, HaKotev, this, I'll just read the Maharfulda, it says, Ketubot, it says, Ketav la din v'nerim ein li b'nechasayich. If someone says, he marries his wife and he says, he's foregoing his rights, din v'nerim, I have no legal claim to your property. Okay? And there's a question, when that applied, if he says b'chayech, if he's saying b'chayech in your life and after your death, meaning even after the death, I'm not going to be yorish from you. Not only can I have the peirot in enochel peir b'chayah, we met and if he dies, according to Chachamim, so if she dies, according to Chachamim, it isn't yorisha. Because by saying dinbra'eini, I've got no legal claim in your life and after death means I have no claim whatsoever. I don't get to enjoy the parents while they're alive. And if you die before me, I don't get to enjoy any, I won't yorasha. That's a chamim. In other words, that tnai stipulates works. However, Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel says, im meta yorasha. That even if he says in your life and your death, if she dies, he would still yorasha. Now the question is why? So that's what the Gemara said. Tamatina Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel omer im meta yorashana. Why? Shitna amasha katu betorah. Because he made a tnai against the Torah. Because the Torah is, according to the Torah law, a man has got the capacity to yorish his wife, right? That's a din Torah. That's how he's understanding it, by the way. And therefore, well, you made a tnai against the Torah. However, Rabbi, here we've got to insert a little bit. I'll just read the Maharful. He has a different, he says, this is the girsa in the where we in the back tuba. He says, Rabbi Yerim says the Bishem Rav, Halach Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, indeed Halach is like Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, aval lo le'inyan dvarim, but not according to what he's saying. Why? Because Halach, meaning not according to his rationale. Because Halach Rav Shimon Gamliel, the Amar im met yershena, that if, in other words, despite the fact he made a stipulation, your life and your death, I have no legal claim on your property, that is, that he would still be able to yoresh her, because, but for a different reason. It's not because he went a tonight against Machakudora, that because but tonight that's goof about mamon kayam. And we've seen previously that yes, when it comes, you cannot make a stipulation against the din Torah, that applies to din and apply to the goof, like Sherek. However, if it was a monetary aspect, a monetary thing, then we said you can make a ta'amashik of the Torah. It could be a financial agreement between them. There's nothing wrong with that. So therefore, again, as he agrees with Rav Shimon Gamliel, but not for his reason, because if it's, because, any other, Rav Shimon Gamliel said the reason why he can't, that the Tanai wouldn't hold his, it's again, mashik of the Torah. Rav Yirmiyah is the name of Ravel. It's not a problem of being making ta'amashik of the Torah, because it's monetary and there's no limits there. However, ha b'tnai mamon anakaimin. So therefore, my time of the Rav, then what is the reason of Rav that he wants a halacha of Shimon ben Gamliel is because he says, my time of Rav bishum b'sof hu zacha. Because when is a husband zocher in his wife's property? Only after death. So to explain behind this, and I think we discussed this previously, the question is, what is the husband's relationship to his wife's property? Is he like someone who acquired it, if you like, in a funny sort of way that he only has rights to the parent if she dies, he gets to continue to keep it? Or is it that he is considered a yorish that gets his private, during a lifetime he has the rights to use it, but he's not considered his at all, and it only becomes his by way of Yerusha? That's the two ways to understand it. Now, according to Rav, he understands he's actually yoresh. And because he's a yoresh, he can't stipulate, it's not his at the time when he's making this stipulation to make any tonight. Because it doesn't even come into possession. You can't say, I'm not taking it, when it's not even his to take. According to Rabbi Elazar, no, he's at the time of marriage, he's a koneh, so he can say, I'm not acquiring it. But the problem is, he's al ma'ashah ketubah Torah. Chachamim would say, it's not a ma'ashah, it's a mammon thing, so it's fine. However, Rabbi is saying, it's not even his. So I'll just show you, make it more clear. If you have a look here, the Marafulda continues, my time at the Rav, it says, Shubasofu zocheh. He doesn't have rights to the wife's property at all, klum, except for obviously payrot. With the vashalo baliado, anything that's in his hands, who it's not in his hands to do anything. He only gets the property to start making conditions if it's his, when it is eventually his after she dies. So therefore, lefichat im mete yorsha. Therefore, if he dies, if she dies, sorry, he can yorish. Because the stipulation he said, but okay, let's go through all the shit again. A man says, Divraim, I have no financial claim to your property. I don't want to yorish it. I don't want to have any payrot with your, when you're alive or dead, right? That's what he's saying. Well, it's really his for the taking now. So therefore, the Tanai works. It doesn't work because it's a Tanai Masha Kashuk Katoba Torah. Chachami would respond, what do you mean? It's a matcha kotul. Who cares? It's a tavashim amam and a tavashim amam you can. Rav comes along and says, no, Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel is right, but for a different reason. Meaning I'm paskin him like him for a different reason. Why is he paskin like him for a different reason? The different reason is because he's not considered a coin, he's considered yoresh. And it's not his to make some stipulation about. Meaning I can't start making binding stipulations about my neighbor's property. It doesn't belong to me. It doesn't belong to you now. Okay, so therefore, that's why he would eventually be Yorisha. That's the, if you like, the three ways to understand the what's happening, really. So the Gemara now continues. Now, you can take out Amar Rabbi Yochanan Halacha Rabbi Shimon ben Broka. So other people, I mean, the Marafulda takes it. Other people actually change the Bnei Moshe. Changes the gears to say Halachas like Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. Same gist. However, but he takes it out because it doesn't say that in Ketubah. It says, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Machra v'natna, if a, this woman during the course of the marriage, she buys and she sells or gifts, I should say, not buys, sells or gifts some of her property in the, like the subordinate to marriage, the nechse melog, says bedin hu liot kam, really mina deraita, it should work. Now what does it mean mina deraita should work? It should work, why? Because the husband's access to this is as a yoresh, so it's fully hers during the marriage. That's beautiful. That's exactly like Rabbi Yochanan effectively saying, like Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, or like Rav, if you like, I should say, not Rabbi Shimon, like Rav. Okay? That during the course, during marriage, the husband has really no hold on this property other than rights to the payrot. So therefore, she can sell it. However, Lama Amru, why the Chachamim still say Machra Batel, that the husband, if the woman tried to sell anything, any of that property during the course of marriage, it's Batel, meaning it's a rabbinic enactment here. That is because we're concerned that during the course of the marriage, what might she do? She might take other property that the husband is using, if you like, and sell that. The person will buy thinking it's his. Okay? However, and he's not going to take it now because he knows during the course of the marriage, the Baal can keep him payroll. And he thinks, okay, eventually I'll be getting this land. But then it turns out much later on that she sold him a lemon. Basically, it wasn't her land to sell. And to prevent that, we say that, therefore, we're not selling any property at all. Okay, but the core of this is that she couldn't ikaradin. And because she couldn't ikaradin, I mean, the husband's considered yorish with respect to property and not considered a koneh. Okay, let's continue. Rabbi Yostini, havalei uvda. He had such an incident, kamei rabbanan. And before the rabbanan, v'chiyavin v'chiyavune. And they obligated him to uphold the what? Upholding the tnai he made. Again, he made a tnai, if you like, that I'm not going to have any connection to your property in your life and death. And they said to him, it is binding. Okay? She died before him, you can't touch it. Kum kame Rabbi Shakish, kame Rabbi Shakish, amar zil chut lenichsach. Go into that property, it's yours. Because halach is like Rav Shimon ben Gamliel. The tnai isn't effective. You can still be yorish. Rav Yuri by Kamei Rav Zira, Amarab, Besofu Zachabahim. Because again, he presented, what's the shitter of Rav? The Rav is because the husband is considered a yoresh, and the tnai he tried to make, or again, Rav Yustai tried to make, then it didn't, wasn't a good tnai, therefore it's his. So again, you can take the Amar Rav Yochanan, halach Rav Yerham, and Bruka. So Amresh Lakish. Once again, Izil, he said, go, chot nichsech, go into and take that property. Okay, which is what we effectively saw above. So Gemara says, man inu rabbanan. Who is this rabbanan? So what man inu rabbanan, the way the ketubot, in the ketubot follows, is that who's the shittot that then, who's the rabbanan that if you like, were paskin initially for Rabbi Yostini, that he has to hold by that original tonight. When we've got all these chachamim, we've got just the lashon was you've got Rav, Reish Lakish, Rabbi Yochanan, they all seem to hold that halachas are of Shimon and Gamliel, that the husband can still be yours despite that tonight. That's effectively it's a man in rabbanan, or man you can the Rav takes out the rabbanan. So man inu rabban the Rabbi Yostini. Or the way Reb Chaim read it says, "Mani Rava, it's a Rabban of Reb Yostini," which is a continuation. We'll see this question in a moment. So again, the Reima Fulda explains it. With this is what we're doing now is continuing. I'm fashioning flame differently. He says, and we look at a different context. It says, "V'yarash ota," meaning the husband inherits from the wife. Yechol kashem shehu yorash kach yorash. Just as he was yorash, maybe she's yorashim. Tabaloma hu yorasha, he ain't yorasha. Meaning like yorash, meaning. He is Batatka Yoresh and not her. Fine. Now, how do we connect this? How are we answering our question? Let's do a little bit more work. It says, sorry. Fine, let's continue. So, yes, continue. So Amar Rabbi Yochanan. So in this part, it seemed to be that they asked Rabbi Yochanan, the Rabbanan Yustini, asked Rabbi Yochanan, this is again Iktubot, seemed to be, they asked Rabbi Yochanan, it says, Akun Chachamim. If the which who understands that this Tanai works, says I'm not going to even Yorush, I'm not going to have any connected to property in life and death, that he wouldn't be Yorusha. The question is, who would be Yorusha? So, Divrei Chachamim, Rabbi Yochanan says, the Kohen Chachamim, Avia Yorusha, Achia Yorushinota, either a father or her brothers would end up be Yorusha. So, the way the Rav Fulda explains it, I'm not going into detail, it's a long piece, he says, the fact that Rabbi Yochanan referred to Shittat Chachamim and actually addressed it means he seems to hold like the Shittat Chachamim. That's the opinion. Because otherwise, he said, why are you even asking me this question related to the Chachamim? Because we don't paskan like Chachamim. Who cares about Chachamim? We paskan Shimon ben Gamliel. That's the way he explains it. Now, I might have showed it inside. He says, Vakari, it's in the middle of this long Gemara on Chalpi Yarash. It says, Vakari, the Balashon Chachamim, Shmame, Dechen that he is not Yoresh. And it's not considered mana mashakutova. That's why the Tanai works. Okay? Fine. Now, what he said here is because he relates the debate between Chachamim and sorry, Chachamim and Reb Shimon Gamliel is a different pshat. Meaning, I explained that above, by the way, the Chachamim would say, oh, it's not considered Tanaya Masha Katuv Torah because it's Mammon. However, he's explaining just now, just to make it clear, that the Shita of Chachamim is no, the fact that the husband has the capacity to Yorushim life is not a din d'oraita. This is going to be continually important. So therefore, by making it Tanaya, you're not making Tanaya against the Torah. Okay, as we'll see soon, as the sugya that follows is a bit of a debate whether. The husband is Yorush's wife, midoraisa or midorabana. Okay, and that's the continuation of the sugya. So I should have probably said that earlier on. It's like the opinion that I mean. Okay, so let's keep going. Gemara says, "Heiti Rav Bar Mamal im Omer at she'ein Yoreshet Isha Devar Torah me'ata Yorusha Yoresh et Arusato." So now that we're understanding the debate between the Chachamim and Rav Shimon Gamliel as being hinging on whether the husband's right to be Yorish is Doraisa or not. Chachamim once again says it's not Doraisa, that's why it's not Tamasha Ketubah Torah. Rav Shimon Gamliel says, what are you talking about? It's Doraisa, it is Tamasha Ketubah Torah. And again, Rav says, well, just all the shittot, remember, you can still make a Tamasha Ketubah Torah. The issue is because he's only Yorish Achar Mita. Okay, that's the three shittot. So now we're trying to say, one second, if you want to say, that husband isn't Yoresh Doraisa, which is we're now challenging the Shita Chachamim, says, Isha Devar Torah, Isha Torah, Me'ata Yoresh Et Arusato, then the husband should be able to Yoresh even his Arusa. And this little piece is a little bit of work, meaning we know that a A betrothed, he just did kiddushin, didn't do suin yet. Husband isn't Yorish's wife in that case. So the question is, what the Gemara seems to assume now, that if it's that distinction of Doraisa, of whether she's Arusa or Nesu'ah, whether he's Yorish or her, is only if it's Doraisa. If it's Dorambara, there should be no reason for distinction. Now, why is that? Kamada Taima mina krova lo grusha. Because we see here, that's referring to the pasuk, meaning that a kohen can come betamed to his relative. And here it's saying hakrova, meaning his wife, but it is not a belo grusha, not if she not a wife that was divorced. So there's a distinction here thrown in. If it's doraita, so too, but the kavata krova, so too, the term krova must also feed a distinction. Now, despite the fact that krova, we're talking about Yerusha to the brothers, Marafold understands that this krova, we're being doresh to the wife, if you hold it's the oraita, if you hold the oraita, and that krova should be a distinction between a arusa and a suah. But if you hold it's not the oraita, you're going to base it for the distinction. So that's what he's saying. Let's back over it again. And he says, Torah. Then, if it's not Doraisa, you've got a basis for the distinction. So, why the Chachamim Paskin that her husband isn't Yoresh, he's betrothed, right? He's Arusa. When, if it's Dorabanan, there shouldn't be any distinction. That's, if you like, that proof. Then, Heiti Rav Amnuna. Im Omer Ach Enisha Yoresh Devar Torah. Another proof. If you say that a woman isn't Yoresh, her husband, Devar Torah, again, we're trying to prove there's Yoresh Devar Torah. We're going to go against the Chita Rabbanan. We're trying to prove that Roshim and Gamla is Doraisa. Mata Yeresh Baal Baraui Kamuchsak. In other words, that the what's Ra'u Kamuchsak? The example is if his wife died before him, well, he gets Yerusha's property, fine. And then after that, say her father passed away and she was an only daughter. In that situation, if she was alive, she would have been Yerush. However, that's only Ra'ui. That's only property that is coming, she had a right to, but not didn't have at the time of death. So he's saying if it's derabanan, there should be no. He should be also yoresh ra'oi become a muchzak. But we see that's not the case. Okay, he should be able to yoresh it. In other words, once again, because Amar Rabbi Yossi kach shana Rabbi ain't a bal notel baramuchzak. We say that's not the case. He cannot take rov muchzak. He wouldn't get his father-in-law's property if his father-in-law passed away after his wife passed away. And how do we know that the distinction between that he cannot have ra'oi kibbe muchzak is only if it's doraisa? That is because we find Babachor. Because he says, Amrab Yossi Barabun, Hare Bachor, Hare Yerushatot, sorry, Yerushatot Torah, Ve'en Yoresh, Baruch Kel Mochzak. So, in other words, it seems to me if it's Dorais, it's far more limiting. That's only things that are present and not those things that are future potential benefits. However, it's Bidarabana, and there'd be no reason to make a distinction. Okay, so we've brought two, if you like, let's call it proofs, that seem to suggest that. If that only makes sense, if you like, if you say the husband right to Yoresh Doraisa, and which we're effectively according to the flow of the Marfulda using to prove as a proof of Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel against what the Chachamim said, who it seems to be that position was that it's Doraisa, like the second way we explained it not in the beginning. Okay, Amrei Yitzhak, Vilain meaning Elul, those people diktav that write in Matit if Mitat if I die, below Bani without any children called the La. Anything that is of hers, Yachzulo go to the father, meaning, in other words, that I'm basically not Yoresh. We say it's a Tnai Mamon who the Tnai Kayam. I'll just read here. Liisha she'im tamut b'lo banim kol shayich liisha yachzul la'aviyah va'ba lo yoresh ota. Then you're allowed. That's a Tnai Mamon. Okay, it seems to be like Chachamim, like we said. Let's continue. Imana says uskov holedit ya'ir. This is talking about the Chalukah in Eretz Israel. This is from Sukkim from Dibra Yamin. Vailo and Ya'ir importantly had Esrim v'shalosh arim be'eretz Gilad. Now Eretz Gilad was in Menashe. Ya'ir is from Yehuda. So I'm going to explain this on Marfold. It says v'chi minayim ayu la'ir arim be'har Gilad. If Ya'ir is from Shevet Yehuda, how does he have area in land in Ephraim? El it must be again. Mefarshim planned it differently. Rafulda says, Ela Nasa must be that Segov, his father, married a Isha, Nibanot Menashe. Okay? Umeta, and she died, Virashana inherited. So it says, Im Omer at She'ein Yoreshet Isha Dvar Torah, if you say that a woman, so their husband doesn't So in Yerushat Isha, that it doesn't your wretch the here is not the right the right huh? The name then Segov should have got it. Elavai lo la Yair. So to explain this, the family tree is as follows. Segov's a father, Yair is a son, and Yair seems to have got his mother's property. Now we're trying to prove here that it must be its Doraita. Why? Because the way Marfold explains it is that Segov's wife passed away before her father. And that would be in case of Ra'ui. Now, if you say it's the Rabbanan, the land should have been Segov's, his father's, because there's no distinction between Ra'ui and Mukzak. However, if you say that, so therefore it's a proof it must be Doraisa, and that's why the Yerusha from the maternal grandfather skipped Segov and went all the way down to Ya'ir. That's why Ya'ir inherited straight from his grandfather, as being a descendant of his grandfather. Okay? That's the proof that it must be Doraisa. We can do the same thing as well. It's an interesting case because we're saying that it's working in that, like in, it's built on this Ra'ukav Muchsak, litmus test, if you like. Let's continue. V'tekvate Elazar ben Aaron met. Elazar ben Aaron passed away. V'kibru oto b'givat Pinchas beno. And it was in Givat Pinchas Asher natan lo behar Ephraim. He says, what are you talking about? What's Pinchas? Pinchas isn't from Shevet Ephraim. We know that. He was the Pinchas ben Aaron. Ben Aaron Kohen is a lady. V'chi minayin ayol lo Pinchas behar Ephraim. Ela nasa isha min Elazar. He's married a woman from Nimrod Ephraim. V'yirash em and v'yarsha and then Pinchas ended up inherit it because it was another case of ra'ui property that his father couldn't have access to. So imat omer she'en yirushat isha devar Torah. If you want to say is only derabana, and then the father should have got it ra'ui kama muchzak. However, the Elazar was v'yili Pinchas was specifically went to Pinchas and Pinchas only. Okay, let's continue. Now this is halacha vav hakotev nechasav la'acharim v'niach banav. Let's say someone writes all his property away to other people and didn't give anything to his children. The first opinion is ma'asha asa asui, meaning he gave it, gifted it away. What he did. It's not a good thing what the person did. However, Shimon ben Gamliel Omer says im lo ayu la'ayu banim non kashur, if his children were not exactly of the going along the right path, so they were not very good people, then zachu latov. Then what the person has done is actually good. So let's continue a little bit more. The Gemara now says, if someone writes, gives away all his assets to somebody else who leaves his children or anything, that his sins will be, if you like, engraved, if you like, on his bones. Why? So I'll just show you here, the Marafulda says, Chakukim al atzmotam, as I said, she'en minchak, his sins will be engraved on his bones, it will not be wiped out. Why? She'al yidei kach, through that, mitcharcher riv u'mitza v'irur levanavim acherim. It's just going to cause machlokas. What you've done is a bad thing. And there's going to be disputes between God and the children. It's going to be stuck in the courts type of thing. It's going to machlokas, as we says. Kada chabarnach, there was one person, ifka nichsu gabei rab mana bar mamal. He instructed his assets, he gave his assets away to Rabba Mamal. Amar lei says, in havion banui da anaya, have nun palga, the sa palga. If my children are behaving themselves, you keep helping give the rest of the other half to my children. Palga. So what happened? The children came along and they took half as Rabbar Mama was instructed. Of course, it didn't take too long. They wanted to let our heir, they wanted to contest and fight and say, we want the rest of my father's property. What are you stealing it from us for? So Amar Lun, lo Amar li avuchun, ela I havin banoye de ahanaya. That I should only give. You have if you were behaving properly. I need to have a little pug of something I can keep half. Kedum, but now I see Aptun Kako Pedifte. Kako Pedifte, the Marful explains, you're like a squawking geese. Avazim Tsuakim, Umefatatim. So therefore, Havali Madi Avid Lechon. Therefore, you shouldn't even give the half. Give it all back to me. So you see the machloka that ensued as the result. So it's not a good idea to start doing these interesting arrangements. All right, so there we'll continue from the next mission and next year. Kaltov, over there.